Okay, folks, it's lovely to have you all here tonight. And we really want to thank our young people for singing and for reading the Word of God. And it was just lovely to hear all those wonderful pieces and all the scriptures quoted. Now, I'm not sure tonight if you've ever wondered to yourself if there was a God or not. Or maybe you think, well, yes, I do believe that there's a God, but I don't really know what God is like. How could we ever know who God is or what God is like? What does he enjoy and what are his likes and dislikes? It's a very big question. How could I or you know who God is or what God is like? And it's a very important question. In fact, it's maybe one of the most important questions that you could ever ask. And one time, whenever the Lord Jesus Christ was on this earth, he spoke to one of his disciples, a man called Philip. And he said to Philip, "Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me?" And then he said these remarkable words, "He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. He that hath seen me has seen the Father." And one of the reasons why Jesus Christ came into this world was to reveal to this world who God is and what God is like. And I was just thinking about the first six letters of the word Christmas, which spell the word or the name Christ. Can anybody here, smart boy or girl, tell me how to spell the word Christ? Yeah, you're the first hand up. Very good. C-H-R-I-S-T. The word C, or the letter C, reminds us of the word creator. God in heaven is the creator of all things. He made the sun and the moon and the stars, and he made this world, and he made the plants and the trees and the animals, and he made you, and he made me. And then the next letter is the letter H. And the Bible says that God is holy. Now, a lot of people forget about that. They like to think, well, I know that God's all-powerful, and I know that God's a God of love, and he is those things, but he's much more. In fact, above and beyond every other thing, God is holy. And the Bible says that whenever the angels worship around the throne of God, they sing this song, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God of hosts." And that word holy, it means that God is separated from everything that is wrong and everything that is sinful. God is so pure and so holy. And then the next letter is the letter R, righteous. That's another thing that God is. He is righteous. And that means that everything that God thinks, everything that God says, everything that God does, because he is holy, everything that he thinks, everything that he says, everything that he does is right. C-H-R, then the letter I, invisible. What does it mean if something or someone is invisible? You can't see them, that's right. And the Bible says no one has seen God at any time. He's invisible. We can't see him. He is so great and so vast and so large that we cannot see him with our naked eye. He's invisible. And then the letter S explains why he's invisible. Because God is a spirit. John chapter 4 says, "God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth." Just like we cannot see the wind, but we know that it's real because we can see its effects, we cannot see God, but we know that he's real, he's a spiritual being, and we can see some of the things that he's created and some of the things that he does. And there's evidence all around us for God. And then the last letter, the letter T, Trinity. Now that's a word that maybe you haven't thought about. It's a very difficult thing maybe to explain or understand. But the Bible says there is one God. But this one God is revealed in three distinct persons. There's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And these three, the Bible says, are one, a triune God. We used to sing a little chorus as children. God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit, three in one. Three in one, and one in three. God the Father, He loves me. God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit, three in one. Three in one, and one in three. God the Son died for me. God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit, three in one. God the Spirit lives in me. Let me try to explain it. I'll not do this very well, but let me try my best. Does anybody know what this stuff is? Real rocket fuel, Old Spice. If you're about my age and you like to save a bit of money and you don't want to spend too much on aftershave, Old Spice, it's the way to go. And inside this bottle, there is liquid aftershave, Old Spice. If you want to smell like a real man, like a real hunk, and get yourself a good woman, Old Spice will help you to do that. And inside that bottle, there is liquid aftershave called Old Spice. But here's another form of Old Spice. This goes under your armpits. Or did you ever hear tell of your oxters? That's where it goes. I could be doing with some of it tonight. Old Spice deodorant stick. And if I take this wee bit off, it's not liquid. It's solid, okay? It's hard. You couldn't drink it. You shouldn't drink the aftershave stuff either. But Old Spice liquid, Old Spice deodorant stick is solid. And then Old Spice deodorant body spray is gas. If I can just turn it on, you get a whiff of this stuff. See that? Vapor. Okay, but they're all Old Spice. One is solid, one is liquid, and the other one is gas. Let me explain it another way. Does anybody know what this is? Yeah, Lucas? Water. H2O. Two parts hydrogen, one part oxygen. I failed chemistry at school, did miserably in it, but this is water. It's actually a chemical, but it's safe for us to drink. And isn't it amazing that whenever God created man, He created nutrients and things like water for us to drink. It falls out of the sky, and there it is, liquid H2O. But what happens if I put liquid H2O in the freezer? What happens to it? Some of out in the car park there tonight, maybe someone, yeah? Yeah? What happens? Yes, that's right. If I put liquid water in the freezer, it turns to ice. It turns solid, like this here. But it's still water, isn't it? But it's different from the liquid, isn't it? But it possesses all of the same chemical properties as the water does. Or if I put the same liquid in the kettle and boil the kettle, what comes out of the spout of the kettle? Yeah? Yeah, sort of way, yeah. Hot water, that's exactly right, yeah. But what, steam, that's right. But they're all different, aren't they? But it's the same. Do you understand what I'm saying? You've got H2O, two parts hydrogen, one part oxygen, and whether it's liquid, or whether it's solid, or whether it's vaporized, it's still the same. But it's in different forms. And that's a little bit, bad maybe illustration, but that is a little bit what God is like. God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And they are co-equal and co-eternal, and yet they are three distinct people within the Godhead. Now, how could we ever understand that? Well, that's why Jesus Christ, boys and girls, came into this world. I heard a preacher once telling a story. He says, my son and I were up in the mountains behind our home. This was in America. And we were out walking. It was a beautiful summer's day. And by mistake, my son kicked over an anthill. And if you've ever seen an anthill, you would know that inside of it there are lots of tunnels and secret rooms and chambers, and all of the ants are all very, very busy. And he accidentally kicked over this anthill, and all of a sudden their home, their world, was ruined and destroyed, and the ants were everywhere, and they were running about. And he says, Dad, I've done an awful thing. I've kicked over this anthill. How can we try to rebuild it for them? And he tried to start to rebuild the anthill himself. And then the dad said, son, the only way, those little ants can't understand who we are. They can't understand what has happened to their little world. And the only way we could somehow explain it to them is if I could become an ant myself and live amongst the little ants and explain to them in ways that they could understand what has happened and what we have been trying to do. And that is a lot like this world in which we live. There's a God in heaven who is so high and so holy. He's righteous. He's invisible. He's a spirit. He's a triune God. And here we are, and we've broken our world. We are cut off from God. We are separate from God because of our sins. And yet God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And folks, that's what the Christmas story is all about. It's all about God the Son, and the eternal Son of God, infinite, eternal, unchangeable, invisible, holy, righteous, spiritual, part of the Trinity, yet coming into this world and becoming one of us, and living amongst us to show us who God is and to provide a way back to God. Let's just quickly recap on how it all happened. Somebody read it earlier, Luke chapter 2. The birth of Jesus Christ was in this wise. There was a young woman called Mary. She had fallen in love with a young man called Joseph. They both loved God and wanted to honor God. And so before they get married, Mary was at home, living on her own. And all of a sudden, an angel appeared called Gabriel. And Mary was sore afraid. And the angel said, "Fear not, Mary. You have found favor with God. God has highly favored you. You are going to bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." Mary says, "How can this be? Joseph and I aren't married yet. I haven't known the man. I can't understand how this will be." And the angel began to explain that the Holy Spirit would come upon her and she would bring forth a son born supernaturally. And this little baby boy lying in a manger would be the very Son of God himself. And God became a man. The Bible says God was manifest in the flesh. The Word became flesh. And that's how it all started. This angel spoke to Mary, and then she went and spoke to Joseph. And one day Joseph said, "Mary, we have to go to a place called Bethlehem, the house of bread. Because, Mary, that's where my family all originated from. And Caesar Augustus has passed this law that everybody in the kingdom, everybody in his empire, has to go to the town or the city or the village of their ancestry and be registered there and be taxed. And we have to go there." And so he got his donkey and he began to put all of their belongings and their food and their clothing on the back of this donkey. And they made their long way all the way down there to Bethlehem. And you remember the rest of the story, don't you? That the place was busy and there was no room for them in the inn. And so they went out to a stable somewhere out at the back of the inn, and that's where Mary brought forth her firstborn son. Jesus Christ came into the world, and ignorantly and unwittingly, many people had no room for him. And maybe that's a little bit like you, and maybe that's even a little bit like me. We have no room sometimes for Jesus Christ in our lives. We can be so active, and we can be so busy, and we can be so consumed with ourselves, so that whenever God comes and speaks to our hearts, maybe in a meeting like this, and we hear the Word of God read, and the Gospel going forth in song, that we sort of say to ourselves, "I don't have time for him. I don't have room for God in my life." I wonder tonight, is that you? I've got room for many things, but I don't have room in my life for God or for his son. You know, the Bible says that whenever he was brought forth and laid in the manger, that there were in the same country shepherds watching over their flocks at night. And the Bible says the angel of the Lord came down and the glory of the Lord shone around about them. And they were sore afraid. Do you ever get afraid? Do you ever get consumed with worry or anxiety? And you maybe can't explain why that is or what's happening. You're just like the shepherds. And I used to be a lot like that as well. Worried, afraid about my past, about my present, about my future. And this sense of fear and this sense of maybe guilt and uncertainty and loneliness and wondering what's life all about? Why are we on this earth? And I was a young person, maybe didn't tell anybody about it, but I was afraid. And I think we're all a little bit like that, afraid. And the angel said to the shepherds, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings." And that's just the same as the words that are translated gospel other times in the Bible, because the word gospel means good news. And the angel said, "Do not be afraid, because I'm coming to you with the message of the gospel. For unto you, personally, you as an individual, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be the sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." And then suddenly it was a song of the angelic host, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward all men." So the gospel is for everyone, but personally, you and I need to understand that the Son of God came into this world for you and for me. And whenever the angels went back to heaven, the shepherds were left standing and they began to talk to each other. And it was read earlier for us. They began to say, "Well, what shall we do?" They realized that they needed to make a choice. They needed to make a decision. We have just been told that the Son of God has come into the world in the form of a little babe and will grow up, and someday he'll go all the way to a cross and he'll lay down his life for us and shed his blood for us, and he will die for our sins and then rise again. What shall we do? And then one of them said, "Let us now go." Let us. Now, not tomorrow, not some other time, not next year, but right now, let us go and let us see for ourselves. And so they made, friends, the right choice. And the Bible says they went down there, having discussed, "Let's go." They went down there all the way to Bethlehem, just around the corner for them, really. And they found the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And they worshipped him, and they realized that that little child lying in that cradle is the Creator of all things. That is God manifest in the flesh. The Creator, holy, righteous, and as we sang in that hymn earlier, veiled in flesh, the Godhead see, hail the incarnate deity, pleased as man with men to dwell, Jesus our Emmanuel, God is with us. And they were so thrilled about it that whenever they made their way back to the fields, they met everybody on the way back, and they began to tell people, "Listen, I've got good news for you. We were afraid last night, worried, anxious, but the angel says we don't have to be afraid, because a Savior has come into the world. And we went last night and we discovered him for ourselves, and he has really come. And we have come to believe the good news of the gospel, and we have trusted him and worshipped him, and we want to tell you that you can trust him too." And young people tonight, older people as well, that's just like me or John O'Neill or any Sunday school teacher or Christian here tonight in the meeting. They can say, "Listen, there was a time in my life whenever I was worried, anxious, afraid, feeling guilt, uncertainty, and somebody told me about a Savior, about the Son of God becoming a man. And I have come to realize and believe that the gospel message is true. And it's changed my life. And I just want to tell you about this Savior. He is the only way whereby our sins can be forgiven, whereby our souls can be saved, and we can be made right for heaven and for home." Will you do that tonight? Just as those shepherds did all of those years ago. and come and see for yourself. How can I know what God is like? By reading in the Bible what God is like, I understand who God is. By looking at the person of Jesus Christ, they understand who God is and what God is like. But you know, the Bible says, taste and see that the Lord is good. The best way to know who God is and what God is like is to give Him your heart and give Him your life and put your faith in Jesus Christ. And then you will come to know Him. And whenever you know Jesus Christ, you know God and you know what life is all about. Thank you so much for listening. Let's just pray together before we sing our closing hymn. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we rejoice tonight in the wonderful message of the gospel. Lord, we confess, O God, as the old hymn writer said, it is a thing most wonderful, almost too wonderful to know, that the very Son of God would come into this world and suffer and bleed and die for me. But O God, we rejoice tonight that this is what the Word of God teaches. Lord, we pray that you will write these truths upon every heart. And we ask, O God, that every boy, every girl, every father, every mother, every friend and relative and every grandparent, that each and every one of us might really know and really understand who God is and why Jesus Christ came, and that we might make that response in our hearts and in our lives, and that we will come and put our faith and trust in Him and give our lives to Him. O God, hear and answer prayer. And write your word upon our hearts. We humbly ask it all in Jesus' precious and worthy name. Amen. Thank you so much for listening. Now we're going to sing our closing hymn. I think it's Joy to the World, is that right? So we'll just stand in a moment after we get the right note. Again, it'll be on the screen. And then please remain standing as we just disperse you in prayer. But thank you so much for coming. We wish you a happy Christmas. We hope to see you again very soon. And may God's blessing rest upon you and your home and family on into 2020. So thanks for joining us tonight, and let's sing this old hymn together, and we'll stand as we sing.